Okay. What we're talking about here is that let's switch to this is a Malloy show. Let's switch to Rand Paul's victory. We're coming to take our country back speech. Go ahead.
11% of the people approve of what's going on in Congress. But tonight, there's a Tea Party tidal wave, and we're sending a message to them.
Yes! Come on, you Nazis!
It's a message
Nazis!
That I will carry with me on day one. It's a message of fiscal sanity.
Yeah!
It's a message of limited constitutional government.
Yeah!
And balanced budgets.
Yeah! And bongs!
When I arrive in Washington, I'll ask them respectfully to deliberate upon this. We are in the midst of a debt crisis, and the American people want to know why we have to balance our budget and they don't.
Oh, for Christ's sake, get rid of him. Just turn it out. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. It looks like my wish is coming true. I think 80 seats have changed in the House. The House now will be firmly in the control of suntan boy John Boehner. Firmly in control. The projection is 236 House seats will be Republican and 199 will be Democrat when this is over tonight. You only need 218 seats to have a majority, a big enough majority to get anything through you want. So look for the House now to begin the first of the year passing legislation that A, extends the tax breaks for the wealthy and probably increases them. B, extends tax break or stops any investigations into criminal activity by the banksters, criminal activity by anybody. Three, attempts once again to gut any environmental laws, all in the name of freeing up business to save America. One of the seats lost tonight that is a real shocker to me. Well, it's not a shocker in terms of it happened. It's a shocker in terms of what it means. Alan Grayson was defeated by a teabagger. The teabagger is a hardcore Baptist. He believes that any woman who seeks an abortion has to be shown an ultrasound, that he's going to work to make that a requirement. He believes that anybody who wants to should be able to carry their guns in their cars. And he also believes, where it concerns education, that the Department of Education should be abolished. And in place of it, creationism should be taught. Get rid of all the evolutionary crap, all the biology crap. God created the earth in 7 days, and he did so about 7,000 years ago, and that's what our children should be taught. This guy defeated Alan Grayson. Now, this kind of raises the question. Alan Grayson was one of the few Democrats who went back to Democratic base ideas. Alan Grayson, whom we've had on this program, everybody had him on this program. He truly believed in the hardcore principles of liberal democracy, the liberal democratic idea. It was interesting that he was even elected the first time. I think his constituency was made of people in Orange County, Lake County. That's right around Orlando, Kissimmee, Florida, Orlando, you know, Disney World. And that's hardcore Baptist territory. I mean, it really is. So those people down there are about as far right where it concerns religion as you can possibly get. Jews and Muslims should be burned at the stake. Now, they don't come out and say that, but I mean, that's part of their religious philosophy, that when Jesus shows up, the Jews are going to have one chance and Muslims are going to have none to make the switch. So the defeat of Alan Grayson to me, and again, I had a major difference with him on his position on Israel, Israeli-Palestinian issue. I don't think that Alan Grayson, from what I could glean from talking with him, having him on the program, going to his website, I don't think he was a corporate Democrat. Blanche Lincoln was. Blanche Lincoln is no longer the senator from Arkansas. She was defeated tonight by a Republican. So I think it's clear that in certain hardcore right-wing, religious crazy areas of this country, which is mostly in the Deep South, to declare yourself to be, and I don't consider Arkansas to be the Deep South, but to declare yourself to be a real Democrat means that you're not going to be elected ever again. I think candidates like Grayson in the South are going to disappear. But I think it also means that corporate Democrats like Blanche Lincoln will be defeated by... See, here's the argument. If you're a Democrat, then conduct yourself like one in most places, not where Alan Grayson was, because in Alan Grayson's district, you conduct yourself like a Democrat, and the religious crazy people will crucify you, literally. You know, literally. Well, okay, figuratively. But if you're going to be a Democrat, conduct yourself like a Democrat, which Blanche Lincoln refused to do, and a lot of Democrats refused to do. So the point I was trying to make, when it comes to an election, if people want a Republican, they're going to vote Republican. If they want a Democrat, they're going to vote Democrat. So if you are a Democrat office seeker, why are you acting like a Republican? To save your political ass, I guess. Anyway, the way it's going to shake out, I think the Senate is going to pick up maybe 3 net seats in the Republican column, which freezes that body completely. They won't be able to do anything for the next 2 years, which is good, which is really good. Because the more gridlock, the more the American people can see that the Republican Party that has said no to every single thing that Obama has tried to do for the past 2 years, and now they'll be able to see that anything they do come up with is pro-capitalism in the worst sense, pro-corporatism, pro-fascism, and that the American people are way down the list. In the Senate or in the House, quite the opposite. The House now will have free rein to do all those neo-fascist things that a dunce like John Boehner has said will be done. And I think that's good, too. We have a chance here now, over the next 2 years, to find out just how useless and corrupt and vile these Republicans are. So if you're Democrat tonight, don't feel like, oh, my God, oh, we lost. I'll tell you what you want to do tonight if you're a Democrat. What you want to do is spend the next 2 years organizing around real Democrats. The Republicans are going to take this country so close to the brink of total collapse. As a matter of fact, they may take it into collapse. So as Perry Two's been saying for a long time, make sure you have canned goods. And as Mike Malloy's been saying for a long time, make sure you're well-armed. But the Republicans now are, I think people will see, those that are still left with eyes, will see exactly what the Republican agenda is about. And for the people who thought they knew what the teabag party was all about, I think you're in for a real rude awakening. And maybe not. Maybe you'll love it. Maybe you'll love seeing 80 years of social safety nets utterly gotten rid of, utterly destroyed. Maybe you'll enjoy seeing your Social Security taken away and turned over to corporate America. Maybe you'll enjoy it. Maybe you'll enjoy seeing what little bit of healthcare reform managed to get through the Blue Dog Democrats and Barack Obama and the Republicans. You'll see that smashed against the rocks. For all the right-wingers that have children, forget it. Your kids are not going to be insured now. They'll go back to pre-existing conditions. All you Republicans who have children with learning disabilities and autism and Tourette's and so on and so forth, and you thought you were going to have a chance to get some help, get insurance? No, it's gone. But the wealthy will get their tax cuts. Yay!
Just like yesterday. time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. I guess this would be a good time to offer up a rant that has been, I haven't planned this, but I haven't planned it that well. I wanted to mention it tonight. Against media or the press in all its aspects in this country, print, electronic. I discount the internet right now, but you know they probably could be included. But the big name journalists, the people who are paid a lot of money to report the news, and what really galls me, the framers gave the press constitutional protection. It's the only they didn't say anything about the rights of plumbers in the First Amendment, or the rights of farmers, or the rights of electricians. Of course, they didn't really know all that much about electricity, but they said a free press should not be abridged. In order to maintain a democracy, you've got to have an informed population. And this is where the press was supposed to come in. This is where journalists were supposed to come in. Media in this country has never been honest, especially the last 30 or 40 years, starting with Reagan. They haven't been honest about the right wing in this country. They have not been. They have never been honest. The newspapers, the television, the radio stations, they've never been honest about the people who lied us into a war. They've never been honest about the corrupting of the regulatory agencies and the oversight agencies. Media has never, newspapers, television, radio, they've never said, okay, look, Americans, this is what's going on. This is what's in your drinking water, and this is why it's in your drinking water. So that corporate America, the capitalists, can continue to rape and pillage. They've never been honest about that. They never were honest about the theft of election, the election that was taken away from Al Gore back in 2000. After the fact, after it was a fait accompli, after Bush and his criminal enterprise had moved into the White House and the Republicans were ensconced in a position to destroy the country, which they've done, then a few news organizations started doing some analysis of what happened in Florida, and they came to the, oh my goodness, conclusion that Gore actually won, and Gore, therefore, actually won the presidency. But the press has never been honest about that. They've never said to the Americans, look, you have a phony sitting for 8 years. They pretend like Bush really belonged where he was. You bastards. The press has never been honest about the absolute thievery and crime and graft and corruption that occurs in the financial services industry. All aspects of it. Insurance, real estate, investment. It's corrupt beyond belief. A few journalists, Joe Nocera, a couple people writing for the New York Times business page, will attempt to inject some truth. But for the most part, no. The press has failed for not supporting whistleblowers. You know, I listen to these sons of bitches talk about the WikiLeaks and, oh, well now, gee, how did this happen? You know, and I just think to myself, you filthy pigs, you corporate capitalist supporting pigs, the framers gave you protection, the only occupation given protection. And look what you've done. You've become a bunch of goddamn street whores. No offense to sex workers. 50-cent street whores. Is there anything left for you in the Fourth Estate to corrupt? Is there anything you haven't destroyed with your cowardice and your refusal? I mean, all this balance crap. And you know, the most blatant example of this was Jon Stewart last weekend talking about the equivalence between Fox and MSNBC. And even MSNBC, yeah, they have a couple of people on there I think are really doing yeoman's work trying to get the truth out, Oberman and Lawrence O'Donnell and Rachel Maddow. But They are the exception, not the rule. So this idea that the press has a responsibility to keep the population informed has gone right down the crapper along with every single thing else in this country that at one time had validity, honor, ethical ethics. It's gone. So I just want to get that off my chest. You people who claim to be journalists, God damn you for letting this happen. And you did let it happen. You, for 30 years, you have utterly and absolutely failed. And you know you failed every time you sit there and say, well, here's A, but on the other hand, there's B. Every time you have failed to expose the lies of politicians run by corporate bastards, every time you refuse to expose how capitalism and corporatism was destroying this country, every time you refuse to do that, you put another nail in the coffin. And I say shame on you, and I also say God damn you for letting that happen. You don't deserve, and you are not, you don't deserve to be called journalists.
Lies lies and live by dogma, awaiting for a sign. The better dead than every guy, listening on the line. And the liberal with a small L cries in front of the TV. And another demonstration passes on to history.
Because liberal is a good word. It's more Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. The phone lines are open if you want to comment. 877-996-2556. There is talk about Rand Paul leading a coalition of fascists to filibuster against raising the debt ceiling. In other words, stopping the United States from being able to function. That's the net effect. Now, most people don't have a clue about this, I among them. But when that happens, if the debt ceiling in this country is not raised so that we can continue to function as a result of the 8 years of Republican economic policy, then the global economy collapses. That's it. And when you see somebody like Rand Paul, who stands up to give his victory speech and makes it very clear in much the same way as the brown shirts, the Nazis did in Germany when they were elected. Don't forget, they were elected too. They never took over any, well, kind of, sort of, once they got into the Reichstag. But the net effect of electing these people is going to be trouble on a scale that I don't think we're able to comprehend right now. Is this O'Donnell getting ready to give her concession speech? Let's bring that up if you can.
I'm not a loser. The political system will never be the same. Well, you know what I mean by my joking big brother goes, "We won? Did we miss something?" You know what I meant. We were victorious because the Delaware political system will never be the same. That's a great thing. The Republican Party will never be the same.
And that's, you know, a what? Good thing.
We're heard, and we're not going to be quiet now.
I'm not a loser. I'm you. I'm just like you.
And that's a good thing.
A couple of emails here. Do you want to talk? 877-996-2556. It's the first night I've ever given out the number and nobody's calling. Like I said, I don't think anybody's listening tonight.
They're drinking.
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 Eric in Canada writes, Mike, not only did the Democrats lose, the rest of the world has lost as well. More death, more war, more destruction. A million Muslim jihadists were created tonight. Thanks a lot, America. Thanks, Mike, and good luck, Eric in Canada. Roz, also in Canada. Hello, Mike. So far, the election results that have come in say more about the voters than the candidates. Whatever must they be thinking to elect such morons? Cutting off one's nose despite the face is not the answer. Hope this does not augur the death throes of a once great nation. This farce cannot go on for much longer. Something has to give, Mike, and I have a horrible feeling it will somewhere down the road. Roz. And this is from senders, a bunch of numbers here at AOL.com. Rand Paul is the scariest, most dangerous man I've ever seen. He wants to repeal the civil rights bills. He wants to get rid of Social Security. He wants to give the power back to the health insurance companies and take away civil rights or the right to health care. It will be health care for the rich only. In short, he will start the second civil war with his insane babble, only it will be rich against poor, and the poor will win. Racist as they come. Yeah, well, remember, the future, as Orwell said, or as O'Brien said to Winston Smith, if you want to take a look at if you want to see the future, just take a look at Rand Paul's brown shirt with his foot on the face of a 23-year-old woman who was there to voice her opinion. And in spite of that, Rand Paul won resoundingly. Now, does that speak volumes about the jerks in Kentucky? I don't think so at all. I think it speaks volumes about the attitude in this country toward real independent thought and liberty and freedom. This is the part that's maddening to me. It just drives me crazy. Is that the teabaggers are talking about installing fascism. It's, I mean, golly damn. The Republicans are doing the same thing, and not a few Blue Dog Democrats are doing it too, but every single Republican, every single teabagger. And the Republican strategy was great of doing nothing and stopping every single initiative that they could stop that might have helped this country. And they did it hoping for the result they're getting tonight. And it worked. It worked. Now, if turnabout's fair play, wouldn't you expect the Democrats to do the same thing? But they won't. Democrats won't do that. The Democrats will, because they're Democrats, will try to find a way to stop the more extreme activities of this new breed of Republican, the fascist, and try to work along with the new fascists. Barack Obama is going. He will come. Barack Obama will come out tomorrow morning and make a statement along the lines of, "Well, we're going to reach out. We're going to try for bipartisanship. We're going to try to work with these fascist sons of bitches. We're going to try to work with these newly elected Republicans. And in the meanwhile, real Democrats, real liberals real liberals like me, will sit back here and just go, oh, my God, you're going to keep doing it, aren't you? Because what Obama will try to do, you can take this to the bank. He will try to save his political career. He wants to be a two-term president like they all do. Gosh, I wish I could be Obama tomorrow morning and tell these people to F off and just say, okay, you want a battle? You got a battle. And, but like I said earlier, I'm so angry at American press for for failing completely over the past 30 years. So, Ron is in Prescott, Arizona. Ron, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike. I've been listening to you for a few years, and I haven't been able to get in for over a year because your program is so big. And I think tonight the reason why I got in is because the election. Everyone's watching the election returns and not listening to you.
That's probably what's going on.
No, believe it or not, when I can get into a talk show, yeah, it means there's not much listenership. But when I can't, like yours, it means you've got a lot of listeners.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's one way to look at it.
I just want to bring up a point on 2012, but first I want to say that I'm a real conservative, not a Ron Paul, Rand Paul, phony fake, Michelle Nutman, Sarah Insane, Christine Lunatic, phony Nazi fascist conservative.
Hey, I couldn't have said that better myself, Merle. I mean, Ron, yeah. I'm sorry. I couldn't have said that better myself. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the teabaggers are all crazy. They're lunatics. But what I think would be good to maybe change something in America is during the 2012 primary, all Democrats vote out all of their incumbents and just put new people in, and the same with Republicans. If we could get true Democrats and true Republicans to vote out the career politicians, I think we might see some changes.
Well, possibly, but do you think the country is in the shape right now on, I mean, just pick a level. Do you think we're in the shape to turn governance over to people who have no experience whatsoever? Let me ask you this. If you ever need heart surgery, Ron, are you going to go to somebody that's performed 500 heart operations or somebody who just finished their residency?
I understand what you're saying, Mike, but look at what we've had with the Democrats since they took over. You've got Paluni in there who's done nothing.
Well, now wait. Will you admit, and I hope you'll try to maintain the honesty that I think you're trying to show, will you admit that the Republicans stopped every single initiative rather than working along with the Democrats to find a compromise? The Republicans just said no to everything. Hold on a second. Where'd he go? Oh, there he is. Ron, hold on. I'll come back after the break.
Defining anger management. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, we're talking with Ron in Prescott, Arizona. All right, your suggestion, Ron, is that the Democrats should let everybody go and the Republicans and start all over. And, you know, I have a better idea, I think, here.
Okay, go ahead.
This comes from our economics correspondent. First of all, addressing what you said, he said, for every problem, there's a simple answer that's wrong. the way to fix things would be this way. Public campaign finance. In other words, get all the money out except what the voters contribute, whether it's $5 or $10 or $100, but get all the corporate money out, and a ban on anybody who ever served or worked for the government lobbying or consulting would fix the problem. Get rid of the lobbyists, get rid of the consultants, get rid of the money. But just throwing everybody out who've had experience is silly to me. In the same way that throwing out an experienced house painter and bringing somebody who's never painted a shingle in his life and say, okay, will you paint my house? I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. As far as the Democrats not getting anything done or the Congress not getting anything done, why do you think that was?
Well, Mike, I agree with you. The way to resolve the problem on a career politicians is get the money out. That's great, but we the people can't vote legislation to do that. Only they can. That's why we got to get the career people out and pressure the rookies to pass finance reform bills and so forth.
It takes an honest a member of Congress, either House, to introduce a bill that bans every bit of money, and I don't think a newbie would necessarily do that. I think I would imagine there's somebody in the House or Senate who would do that. But back to what you said about the Democrats haven't done anything. Well, you understand why.
Yes,
the Republicans said no. The Democrats are cowards. The Republicans wanted to block everything Obama tried, and they succeeded with about 80% of what he tried. Rather than stepping up, or to use Sharon Angle's term, rather than to man up and sit down with the Democrats and say, "Okay, we don't like that part of your health care bill. Let's try this. Let's try that." But they didn't do that. They just said no, and their strategy worked. This is the Karl Rove strategy, and it worked perfectly. We had two years of more or less gridlock, 2 years of not getting any problems solved, so that when the elections would come around, the American public would be so pissed off and so angry and so irritated that they would vote for these, you know, the teabagger freaks and the Republicans who caused the problem. I mean, 8 years of Bush, and they wanted Obama to clean up every single mess that Bush made in 8 years? In two? I don't think so, Ron. Hey, listen.
But here's the thing, Mike.
Yeah.
Can I say one last thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I remember when Pelosi took over and Reid took over in 2007, January 2007.
Yeah.
You were calling for the impeachment of Bush. And
right.
You got furious because they said it's off the table. This is what I'm talking about. Career politicians, Reid and Pelosi, who refused to impeach Bush. Why is it that the Republicans can impeach Clinton, but the Democrats can't impeach Bush? If Reid and Pelosi had called for impeachments and they went ahead with it, they could have gotten Bush.
Right. Well, wait a second. It wasn't inexperienced or non-career politicians who went after Clinton. Those are people like Henry Hyde and Tom DeLay and Newt Gingrich. Those were people that have had years of experience. So
no, I understand that. But what I'm saying is,
that kind of blows your argument, doesn't it?
Well. Maybe, but the reason the Democrats can't?
Well, no, they can't because they're cowards.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You've got to get the career coward politicians.
I don't think it's
some young guys in there.
Okay,
have the guts to impeach.
I don't think it's career equals cowardice. I think it is the heavy duty politicians in the Democratic Party who are scared of their own shadow. I just don't see where your idea makes all that sense. Maybe it does. Maybe it does. Ron, I got to leave there. Thanks. Maybe it does. Another email here from Conroe, Texas, from Brett. Have you ever thought that this election has done a great service to the Democratic Party? Who is the biggest loser tonight? Not the left-leaning hardcore liberals, but the so-called blue dog Democrats. In one election, we've cleaned them out. Let's see what happens. Brett and Conroe. Well, I mentioned that earlier, like Blanche Lincoln, defeating Blanche Lincoln. Blanche Lincoln was a corporatist. She was not a liberal Democrat. She was not the base of the Democratic Party, unless the Democratic Party's base is completely different from what I think it is, and it may well be. It may well be. And Tom points out the American voter never changes. In 1972, the fascist majority voted in Nixon for president in a landslide over George McGovern. Yeah, I remember that. That was just shocking to me. I remember that election, that it was just unbelievable. And then a couple years later, you know what happened. All right, we'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program on election night, where the Republicans are just kicking ass. Oh, boy. It's going to be very much fun to watch them try to govern. That's going to be a ball. There are a couple of defeats, Democratic candidate defeats. Russ Feingold has been defeated. Only 16% of the Wisconsin vote has been counted. But Ron Johnson, the Republican, has 59% of the vote. And Russ Feingold has 40%. And I don't know that much about Ron Johnson. Is he an independent? Is he no? He's a Republican. Yeah. What do I mean, independent? We don't have any independents in this country. Not really. Back to your phone calls. Susan is in Squim.
Hi, I just tuned in for the wake.
Yeah, right, right. No, it's good.
I just wanted you to know that not all of us are listening to television. I do have the TV on so that I can read some of the stuff, but I have your sound on.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I think a lot of people are doing that. I also would like to represent the chat room, the Malloy chat.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's really gloom and doom in there.
Why?
Oh, because, you know,
this is
you know the irony of all this, Mike, is that, you know, it's just amazing to me the ignorance of the people that are supporting these Republican candidates. Where do they think the money came from that supported all their bat crazy candidates. The Tooth Fairy? This is big, big banks, corporate money, oil companies, mm-hmm. foreign investment corporations. These are really big people putting these nut jobs. Many of the candidates are as bad as the as bad as their supporters. They're going to get in there, and they're going to find out that they're going to have to pay the piper.
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre. They're throwing away our democracy and saying they're taking it back. Whom are they taking it back from? I thought everybody in office was an American.
They're taking it back from
the Negro.
From the
black,
that's
fascist,
it.
Communist,
that's
socialist.
Right. They're taking it back from the foreigner. They're taking it back from the intellectuals. They're taking it back from the people who want to teach science instead of the Bible. They're taking it back from people who are trying to convince Americans that we face some real problems here.
They're giving it, though. They're giving it to the corporations.
Well, yeah.
It is going to become... And here's something else that really ticks me off. When you were talking about the media...
Uh-huh.
Both the media and also the Democratic Party, the Electoral Committee is no longer Howard Dean, and they have really screwed up. One of the major ones was Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They abandoned the 50-state strategy and hardly campaigned at all for people that they could have saved, like Grayson,
mm-hmm.
whom they don't like. They never stood on their record. Everybody keeps saying, oh, the Congress did nothing, the President did nothing, they did nothing. A lot of people don't realize, and the media hasn't publicized it, and the party hasn't and should have, that this Congress was more productive than any Congress mm-hmm. since LBJ's 1965-66 Congress, where he passed Medicare and the Voting Rights Act.
Right.
I'm sitting here looking at a list of some of the major accomplishments during the last 2 years, and there's like 35 or 6 of them, starting with the Lilly Ledbetter Act,
mm-hmm.
which kept women from being singled out for less pay in the workplace, from discrimination there, to the CHIPS bill, mm-hmm. to the credit card reform, so that people can't get charged, 30% all of a sudden on their credit card. So many veterans bills. I'm looking here at all kinds of the cash for clunkers alone put millions of dollars into the economy.
Well,
much went on. Stem cell research. So many bills that passed.
Right, and all this happened with zero support from Republicans, with the
exactly.
possible exception of the two women senators from Maine.
And well, basically, it was in spite of the Republicans, not
right.
with them. It was, and they didn't. The Democrats did not toot their horn about this. They worked, and Pelosi. Everybody's putting her down. She pushed most of these bills through.
Hey, listen,
and Harry
listen.
Reid can't talk worth a poop.
Yeah,
but
hey,
he is good behind the scenes.
Susan, hold on. Listen to this. Bring Bachman up. This is MSNBC.
Majority, if you claim the majority of the Congress, it looks like you will you use the subpoena power to do what you said on my program you would do, investigate the Democratic members of Congress for un-American activities?
I think the first thing we're going to do is try and set the economy in order, because jobs is the big issue. You were just having a discussion about that. And what people want to make sure is that no one's taxes are going up. So I'm calling on Speaker Pelosi during the lame duck session to listen to the American people. They're speaking overwhelmingly tonight. Don't raise our taxes. Stop the out-of-control spending. That's how we're going to get jobs back. So I hope that during the lame duck session, she'll have an extension of all of the current tax policy, because the very sad story is that 1 second after midnight, every taxpayer in the United States will see a dramatic right. increase in taxes. No one can afford that right now.
That's such a lie.
Not. for the United States Congress. We better listen to what the people have been saying. And we better do what they're asking us to do.
Well, your colleague, Congressman Issa, who's going to chair the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, has said he will use the subpoena power to investigate this administration. You have said on my program to me that you want to see the Democratic members of Congress investigated by the media. You put it that way. You wanted us to investigate the Democrats for un-American attitudes. I just want to ask you, do you stick with that plan? Do you want us to do it, or will you do it with the subpoena power? Who do you want to investigate the Democratic members of Congress for un-American thinking?
Well, the plan that I've been talking about all through this election is really four things, and I would encourage
all right,
the new Republican
get this bitch
leader-
out of here. Oh my God, I'm looking at her face, Susan. You say you don't have on television, but this Michelle Bachmann, if ever I have seen anyone, who looks like I don't know, just crazy.
I can see her. I mean, I've got MSNBC on without the sound, and I can see her.
I mean, it's
and I heard what you played, and
it's astonishing.
I'm glad you turned her off when you did, because it was pretty hard to take. And you know, she wants to investigate people for being un-American, and she keeps saying that, and she's been saying it. She kind of backed down from it with Tweety, but what's more un-American? Giving our country to foreign corporations, doing their bidding, being in their pocket, because they're going to demand payback. If they don't get it, they'll bump these guys off. When you sell your soul to the mob, it stays sold.
Well, we can hope. That would be great to see the capitalists, the corporatists, send in hit squads to start, what was Palladino's term, taking out Republican members of Congress who don't do what the capitalists paid them to do. Yeah, I got to leave there. Thanks, Susan. Thanks. We'll talk again. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Goodbye. Let's go to Fiji, goodbye, baby. Let's go to Fiji, goodbye. Can't depend on the goodly-hearted. Goodly-hearted mainland shades of soul. Can't depend on the sacrament, no Father, no Holy Ghost. You can't depend on any churches unless there's real estate that you want to buy. Can't depend on a lot of things. Need a busload of faith you get by. What? Busload of faith you get by.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Couple of emails here. Mike, I haven't caught the show for quite a few years and found myself drawn back with tonight's foul news. It is a dark night for America, the beginning of another dark age, much like the Bush 2 years. I fear the stakes are higher now, though, higher than any time in our collective memories. You're paraphrasing Orwell, the future is a boot stomping on a human face forever, brought to mind an old Hunter Thompson quote, which is this, quote, "This may be the year when we finally come face to face with ourselves. Finally, just lay back and say that we are really just a nation of used car salesmen. With all the money we need to buy guns and no qualms about killing anybody else in the world who tries to make us uncomfortable," end quote. Old Hunter was talking about foreign policy. "I fear the Tea Party types will instead turn the guns toward their own neighbors for an orgy of scapegoating and bloodshed. Back to the regimen that got me through the Bush years. Irish whiskey, muscle relaxants, and antidepressants." Oh my God. Bob in Youngstown, right? "Is Kentucky looking to secede from the Union? I might take a different route when traveling west next time. I think that if Democrats lose the House," they already have, Bob, "it will most likely be the result of low voter turnout among young people and minorities in key races. It's amazing to think that there are Americans who think that after 8 years of the Bush-Cheney regime, that putting these people back in power is the answer. It's the continual dumbing down of America, looking for easy answers from the right wing with their full arsenal of media outlets. Talk about short-term memory. Bob Jean writes, Mike, I think liberals and the left of the Clinton Center people on the local level should work hard to keep our local and state offices clear of corruption and right-wing nuttery. It is my view that things at the federal level are so corrupt that no matter who we run, they will be outspent by the corporations. Until it is no longer profitable for the corporations to rig the elections, we're stuck. Gene, that's an interesting point. Just let the... I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying it's an interesting point. Just let the federal level, just let the Republicans destroy it. Phil in Decatur, Georgia, did the middle class just commit mass suicide? Yes. He answered his own question. From Kay, Mike, 8 years of Republican criminality, death, and destruction, and a mere 24 months later, the American people are giving them another go at it. Americans are the most ignorant people on the face of the earth. We are blanked. Okay. The guy that beat what's his name in Wisconsin? Feingold. The guy that beat Feingold, Ron Johnson, is a big defender of the Roman Catholic Church against all those frivolous lawsuits pursued by victims of child-abusing priests. Irish Dave says he's also known as Dildo. It's astonishing. What happened to the people in Wisconsin? I am really surprised. There's part of me that just didn't think that people Americans would do this, would kill their own constitution while they're standing around saying, we're going to go back to the constitution. What in the hell does that mean? Well, while they kill their form of government. I don't know. I have no idea. Who's this? Is this? This is Eric Cantor. Bring him up a little bit. Let's hear Eric Cantor.
Some results getting people back to work.
Last year, the Republicans criticized the Democrats in the House for not passing the first budget resolution. So, and I have a lot of respect for your leadership in this regard. Are you going to commit tonight to actually passing a budget resolution, which you criticized the Democrats for not doing last year?
Absolutely.
Will you commit to that? There will be a budget resolution passed by the House Republican majority.
Absolutely, okay. Chris. You know, this is something that this is the first time since the Budget Act was passed in the early 70s that the House of Representatives did not pass a budget resolution.
Okay, all right. Cut him off. This is the guy who, at his rallies, people are hustled out of the restaurant, beaten to the ground by police.
Do you think that he and the Oompa Loompa have ever kissed? They are very close. They have a special relationship. So I was just curious about that.
Hey, Mike, I've moved to Colorado since I wrote you last. This is my first night to watch live television since my move back in August. Did you know about the proposed amendment to Colorado's constitution that would change the definition of person? Well, we got a break here. I'll come back to this. This is from Kelly in Wellington. I'll come back right back to this. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
Bill is in Minneapolis. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Hi. Just like the original Wall Street, when Michael Douglas said, it's all about bucks, kid. The rest is conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. And I believe you said, not last year at the show, where, but the year before, you said, don't be hitting me with this 30 and 60 second BS. Because I'm not interested, but that's exactly what happened. These dumb bastards up here. I think we really do deserve the title of Fargo.
Well, I don't. You know, I will depend on you to tell me what you think happened. That somebody as insane as Michelle Bachmann, who has sworn that once they take office, the majority, they are going to begin investigations of members of Democratic members of Congress for something and try to impeach the president. What is it all of a sudden about Minnesota that something like that would be allowed to happen? That this insane person would be reelected. It's hard for me to find the words tonight.
Well,
it really is.
It is for me too, because I've been searching for that answer myself. It's the lack of people not doing research and the lack of critical thinking, and it's so obvious. It's right out there in front of you. The information is there for everybody,
mm-hmm.
but they don't. I don't understand it either. One good thing is the last I heard, KTNF here. They have their local people on with the election analysis right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not being heard on KTNF, but it looks like Dayton is going to beat this freak Emmer. This guy is another.
Well, that's good.
Psychopath. I mean, way out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I know. We talked about him on the air. Yeah, he's another one. How is it that Minnesota is producing these kinds of? I thought, you know, I listened to Prairie Home Companion, and I thought Minnesota was full of just good down-home Lutheran farmers.
Right. Well, I've lived here since I was 4 years old. We moved here from Chicago in 1951, and yeah, I've seen the change over the years. And I really have no explanation other than the big business that's up here. I still have not been in Target or Best Buy. I'm hurting myself, but I'm a man of principle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I just won't do it. I can't. Because, well, I don't know if that makes sense to you or not.
No, of course it does. It only would not make sense to people who don't have principles, but I understand exactly what you're talking about. I just can't believe that Russ Feingold has been defeated in Wisconsin. I mean, I just...
Well, that too. I mean, here again, it's all about Bachman. I mean, Bachman, what, got $14 million, where Cheryl... Clark got only 800,000 or something,
mm-hmm.
and they're able to put together these very excellent persuasive, you know, 60 second BS that
yeah.
people believe it. And I guess we are a bunch of dumb bastards out here. We really are.
Well, we've got the same problem in Georgia, trust me. Hey, Bill, thanks. Let me move on. I appreciate what you had to say. Take care. Patrick is in Monterey, California. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Mike. Greetings from Mabe Russell country.
Yeah.
How are you? How's the Mike Malloy family tonight?
Just doing swimmingly.
Yeah. I have to say, if it weren't for the, you know, the Giants winning the World Series kind of took the edge off for me, and otherwise I might be sticking my head in the oven. Although, if Meg Whitman and Carly Fiorina managed to take the governor's mansion and Barbara Boxer's Senate seat, the oven option might be back on.
The last I've heard, there's no chance of either of those people winning over Jerry Brown and Barbara Boxer.
I hope. I don't think so either. I hope so. You know, and just another thing about the World Series, it made it five times nicer for me personally that we beat Texas and the Bush family. At least we had some Pyrrhic victory in the sports world.
That's true. That was I've talked to people in California who said it was just great that it was done in front of the Bush bastards, and done so effectively.
I wanted to echo what your comments were last night and a caller to your show, kind of paralleling what Keith Olbermann was saying about, you know, how disappointed I was about Jon Stewart's rally and trying to make the equivalency between MSNBC and Fox. I applauded his taking down of Crossfire years ago. I thought that was hilarious, but I just really don't understand where he's coming from in this regard. I mean, MSNBC, other than maybe Rachel Maddow, I can't see them having, say, Amy Goodman, the late Howard Zinn, Dr. Michael Parenti, or Noam Chomsky on as a guest, but you know, my God, it's a start, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, well, so speaking of these races, I was very sad to see Alan Grayson go down. I found that depressing. I guess it's not that out of the ordinary. I guess he was in a red district in his state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And, but I have to give it to Grayson that, rather than, conduct himself like a bunch of these cowardly blue dog Democrats who I hope are gone forever now, Grayson refused to do that. And, he maintained exactly what he said in this, when he was in the House, what he said, about legislation, he maintained back home when he was facing reelection. And, the right wing nailed him. They just nailed him.
Is there any word on the angle Reed fight yet?
Not that I'm aware of. Nothing yet.
That just reminds me of, like, anything worse than Sharon Angle and Harry Reid is almost the only thing I can compare it to is the 1991 Louisiana gubernatorial race between Edwin Edwards, who's, like, you know, in prison now, he's mafia connected,
right,
and, you know, the Nazi David Duke. It's like, let me see, John Gotti or Hitler? I guess I'm going to have to go with the gangster. I hate to say this. I hope Harry Reid wins. I never thought I'd hear those words come out of my mouth, and I want to see Democrats think that hold on to the Senate. But I can't believe that Harry Reid is a former Golden Gloves boxer. What is his record? 0-70? Not once did he stand up to the Republican filibusters, even on things that would have been easy. And
right.
If the House is lost, you know, Nancy Pelosi, you should have, kept impeachment on the table. You should have at least let Conyers and Waxman do some investigations, because now the Republicans are going to investigate everything under the sun. Is it from Kenya? You know, and I have to say one thing, you know, a sad consolation to us all, the next 2 years might unfortunately make the Mike Malloy show that much more entertaining.
Well, it might, but I'll tell you what, Pat, listen, Patrick, thank you. I've got to move on here. We got a break coming, but thanks for checking in, pal. I hope Harry Reid gets defeated. I really do. There were a couple of Democrats that I'm sorry to see beaten, especially by the kinds of candidates that beat them, Grayson, Russ Feingold, really. But for the sake of 2012, and I'm not talking about the presidential election, I hope Obama gets a challenge from the left in the Democratic primaries. But for the sake of the 2012 congressional elections, House and Senate, I would like to see the Democratic Party just smashed up against a goddamn brick wall. I really would. And if you're a Democrat like I am, I hope you understand that. I am so sick of this party doing what it's been doing. I'm sick of it. So every one of these train wrecks that occurs tonight, I think ultimately will have the effect of making the Democrats realize if they want to continue to be Democrats, that they have got to reverse this drift or pell-mell run toward corporatism that so many of them have gotten involved in. And so every time a Democrat goes down tonight, is defeated, especially by the quality of people defeating them, I hope Democrats take note. I hope Democrats realize that in order to turn things around in 2012, in order to save the Republic, we're going to have to go back to the basis of the Democratic Party. If we can't do that, then okay. Frankly, I think the country's lost anyway. I mean, I've been saying that for months. Tonight is just that most evident moment so far that the country is gone.
He's the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, you know, I didn't finish Kelly's email from Wellington, Colorado. She said, did you hear about the proposed amendment to Colorado's Constitution that's on the ballot tonight that would change the definition of person? Here's the amendment. Shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution applying the term person as used in those provisions of the Colorado Constitution relating to inalienable rights, equality of justice, and due process of law, to every human being from the beginning of the biological development of that human being? Yes, no. In other words, should clusters of fertilized cells, I guess immediately after the sex act between a man and a woman, or artificial insemination, if a man's penis is not being used, which happens a lot these days, that when the sperm and the egg fuse, at that moment, that thing has inalienable rights, equality of justice, and due process under the law. That thing. Oh, God. Kelly goes on, I can't believe it. They don't even want us to be able to have IUDs or take birth control pills. They want us to know that doing those things are the same as murder. A similar amendment was proposed in 2008 and not passed. So hopefully that will happen again tonight. I think you're right, Mike. Things are going to get bad. We actually did what we talked about doing after the oil spill happened. We moved close to the mountains, 60 miles north of Denver, 20 miles south of Cheyenne, Wyoming, right next to the largest CSA farm in the Rockies. It's time to start putting up food. Just got a dog, one that will get big enough to scare the hell out of, or scare folks. I don't mean to be negative, but I'm prepared to prepare for anything. While living as normal life as possible, raising the kids, waiting till the lights go out. Thanks for spending tonight with us, Mike. I know you'd rather be watching TV. Kelly. No, I really wouldn't rather be watching TV. I just absolutely wanted to. Thanks, Kelly. Wanted to talk about this because, you know, I've been saying for a couple of weeks that if the pundits are right, and the pundits are always right, this was going to be a massive realignment of the Congress, and that the result would be just one more nail in the coffin of representative government. You know, and Kathy and I went to vote today. Yeah, we voted. When we went to vote today, you know, and we're both looking at the, we took Molly, which was horrible. We should have left her at home, but she didn't have school today. We had to take her along. But we walk into our precinct and go through the process and, get our little, yellow computer card and stick it into the Diebold machine, right? And the screen pops up and there's all the candidates, and the constitutional amendments and the, or not constitutional amendments, but the referenda that are up for vote, here in Georgia. And, you know, we look at each other and we look at the Diebold label on everything and we just, I don't know. At that point, it was, I think both of us were ready to just turn around and walk out. I mean, what's the point? There is no point in voting on a Diebold machine. There is no reason to do that. None. But our excuse, we had brought Molly in, and we took her last year too, but she does, I don't know, she doesn't remember, I don't think, does she? Huh? 2 years ago. Oh, two, we didn't take her last year. 2 years ago, so obviously she doesn't remember it. But, so we had Molly in there, and, she's watching very intently. It was amazing, when I was going down the touch screen and, she said, well, why are you touching that one? Well, why are you touching that one? And I explained to her it was voting. And, these are people that I wanted to be leaders, or these are rules that I wanted to be, or proposed rules that I wanted to become rules, regarding how things are done in Georgia. And she was very interested in it. And I thought, I felt in that moment like, I think, more of a hypocrite than I've ever felt in my life to any of my children. Any of them. And they're all grown except Molly. And I felt like such a hypocrite standing there telling this six-year-old that what I'm doing here, Molly, is selecting the people I want to lead in the state of Georgia. I mean, the more ethical thing to have done would have been to scoop Molly up or take her by the hand. She's too big to scoop up. Take her by the hand and turn around and leave. And she said, Daddy, why are we leaving? You haven't done it yet. And I would say, because here, let me show you. And show her the Diebold label on the machine and say, Molly, when you see that, you know that your vote is not going to be counted. And then I thought, well, it would open up a whole flood of questions. Well, why won't it be counted, Daddy? Don't those people, the people that make the machines, don't they want good leaders? You see where that would go, right? So we went through with the charade. And I've never felt more of a hypocrite about anything. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart, because I am 1,000% honest with my children. Always have been. Always will be. I do not lie to them. And that way, when Dad says something, they know they're getting the straight story. Never, ever have I lied to my children. And consequently, there was never any occasion in my life as a parent, as a father, to feel hypocritical or like I was being deceitful to my kids until today. Until today. And it was overwhelming. It was overwhelming. I guess my plan is to, when she gets older, is to explain it to her. And she got the little sticker. She got my sticker that said, I voted. I'm a Georgia voter. They give you little stickers, little Georgia peach. And this was, it was cloudy and kind of blustery today, and it was perfect setting to feel that kind of remorse, that kind of, hypocrisy. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Program. Some emails here from Mary. Hey, Mike, CNN is running a classic graphic that flips states and regions from red to blue to show where we were at the start of the day, about half red, half blue, versus where we are now after today's elections. I know I don't have to tell you, Mike, but we're hemorrhaging red, blood red. I don't understand the people of this country. We have so much potential, and it is vaporizing right before our very eyes, by our own hands. I want to weep, but just can't. Maybe tomorrow. Mary. GR in Arizona. Oh, boo-hoo. I don't see what they're all crying about. It doesn't change the outcome. It just means it arrives a bit faster. The collapse of this republic is inevitable, but we've known that for a long time. I'm still weighing the options. Stay and fight when the fight finally comes, or go set up my studio near the beach in Costa Rica and watch the glow on the horizon. Or my Hopi friend in Arizona. From Skinhead Willie. Hi, Mike. Tonight a lot of, quote, fresh faces, unquote, are being elected into the Congress. My Blue Dog 14-term Democratic Congressman Rick Boucher just lost to the Americans for Prosperity-backed Republican Morgan Griffith in the 9th Congressional District of Virginia. Once these freshmen take their seats in Washington, the lobbyists are going to swoop down on them like flies to, you know, they'll be surprising them with legislation to benefit their, they'll be supplying them. All right. The lobbyists will be handing these freshmen the legislation that will benefit their corporate masters. That is, if they don't get too bogged down in impeachment proceedings and declaring war on Iran. Just think, we may actually have a war declared by Congress for a change. So do you think the USA will hit rock bottom in just 2 years? Yeah, I do. I really do. This is from, Prairie 2 writes, if the Republicans can get to 49 seats in the Senate, then you expect Lieberman and Nelson to give up the pretense of being Democrats. The Senate can then pass all manner of legislation, and the big risk is that they will probably pass bills that seem reasonable on the surface and dare Obama to veto them. Then the question is, will Obama sign bad laws to get reelected? Or will the Republicans parlay his veto into permanent Republican governance? In the meantime, states and municipalities will be selling off the commons to raise money to keep the doors open. From Brooke in Indiana. Mike, I haven't read for a long time. Just wanted to touch base. I'm in the dumps tonight. How can this country vote for these people? They were all alive just 2 years ago when we were on the brink of a depression. What am I missing? What don't I see? I thought the 2004 election of George W. Bush would be the end of my caring about politics. But I want to believe in America. I want America to be a great country. But how can I when we never solve any problems and we never move forward? I'm beginning to think I'll never see any of these problems solved in my lifetime. And that, my friend, is a sad thought coming from this American loving progressive liberal, Brooke in Indiana. P.S. Dan Coats was just elected our next senator. What a great grassroots Tea Party candidate. He's been in D.C. for 30 years, and he's been a corporate lobbyist for the last five. I can't wait to see what change is coming to Indiana. I think, who was it? Was it Sharon Angle that said, Was it Sharon Angle that said if a woman is raped by her father or whatever, and she's pregnant from being raped, even if it's a stranger, the point is incest or not incest, but rape, and the pregnancy results, that you should turn that lemon into lemonade. Was that Angle? I don't care who it was, so don't email me. It was one of these crazy female Republicans. But, I would respond the same way tonight. This looks like a disaster, but I don't think it is. I think two things are happening here. This is the Republicans' last big moment. And I think they're going to demonstrate that they're incapable of governing. We the people, us the people, they are capable of governing for the corporate class. And I think these poor, miserable teabag bastards are going to come out of the ether in about 6 months. Well, they're all high-fiving each other now and goosing each other and playing grab ass, and they're just happy as a pig in swill. But when the truth comes out about what these teabaggers and these Republicans are really there for, and what they're going to do and how it's going to affect, yes, even the teabaggers, I mean the people that voted for the teabaggers, I think that will be the death knell of the Republican Party. Now, the catch is to try to stay viable as a society for two more years. I also think that one of the unintended effects of today's voting is to get rid of a bunch of dead wood, blue dog Democrats. Kick their asses out. They don't belong in the Democratic Party. So goodbye. Good riddance. Get the hell out. Now let's see if the Democratic Party, let me rephrase that, because the Democratic Party is useless right now. Let's see if there are Democrats, liberals. Let's see if there are liberals who have whatever it takes to become a candidate, organize themselves into a candidacy, and run for office. Now, I'm already getting emails from people that are saying, you know, that's silly, Mike, for you to even suggest it. Because with corporations now being able to provide as much money as any candidate could possibly want, through the back door, of course, then the only people who are going to succeed in elections, up until it's realized that elections are no longer even necessary, are going to be those candidates who will do for corporate capitalist America what Monica Lewinsky did for Bill Clinton. And those are the people who will be elected. And the election, of course, is a fraud and a farce and a joke. As long as we use touchscreen voting machines, you know, I keep thinking about today, and this happened in a church. We went to a church to vote or to go through the motions of voting. We didn't really vote, because it was on a Diebold machine. That's not voting. That's participating in a fraud. But it was in a church. Inside a church. Not that I give a tinker's damn about the church. I couldn't care less. But there are a lot of people who see churches as sanctuaries, places still. Okay, I guess not. I guess not. What am I talking about? Never mind. I just found that on top of my own deceit of my 6-year-old today was also the hypocrisy of a church allowing a lie such as this one, using the Diebold machines, to be perpetrated inside the church. It says in their stinking Ten Commandments not to bear false witness, doesn't it? And here they are, inside a church, Diebold machines. Well, right, so what? We'll be right back.
Where is the outrage?
Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
All right. Bring up Carol Palladino's giving his concession speech.
And my son-in-law, Luke, for putting up with him. For putting up with this campaign, we've galvanized New York State voters with a policy message that reflects the desires of all New Yorkers. Lower taxes, less government spending, more accountability and transparency of state government, and the end of insider political dealings in Albany.
I'll kick your ass!
With the unexpected and remarkable ascent of the Tea Party, we saw the passion of regular people spill into the streets.
And on people's heads.
I shared their feelings. We're frustrated with big government. We're tired of our politicians spending like drunken sailors and giving us weak elected representatives. We're tired of the backroom deals and contempt for the will of the people. We're tired of government suffocating.
All right, that's enough. Jesus, God. Does he believe this stuff? I guess these morons do believe that it's the will of the people. The people decided they don't want even halfway measures about health care. They don't want their kids eligible for health insurance with pre-existing conditions. I don't know. Why go through it? John Cornyn of Texas, head of the Republican National House Strategy, Representative Cornyn, said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we've waited a long time for this night." What are you talking about? A long time? Cornyn said the American people realized they retained the power to change the government when it wouldn't listen to them. See, and he said that to cheering supporters in Washington, the headquarters of the Republican National Committee, the American people realized they retained the power to change the government when it wouldn't listen to them. I mean, how ludicrous is that statement? Eric Cantor said, quote, "The American people have spoken loud and clear. We have to make sure we're focused on what people care about," end quote. Every single Republican in the Congress is a wholly owned subsidiary of some corporate behemoth. Every one of them. Every Democrat in the House and the Senate, with the exception of a handful, some of whom were soundly kicked out of office tonight, are also under the control and the butt boy of some corporate thug. But you see, the illusion has to be maintained. The people have spoken. No, the people have not spoken. Oh, I think I'm in a state of shock. Alan Grayson, Russ Feingold. Wow. All righty then. The one that defeated Grayson is a Baptist church-going creationist believing take away a woman's right to privacy type, and the people in his district either voted for him overwhelmingly against Grayson, or that was rigged too. Who knows anymore? And Russ Feingold, who was outspent 7-1 by his opponent, who feels that the Catholic Church should be able to protect their pedophile priests from any further harassment. That pedophile priests should have the right to bugger little boys and little girls to their heart's content. After all, it's the church. The Catholic Church. Now, that's that man's personal beliefs, but the only reason so much money was pumped into him was to silence. You know, Russ Feingold was the only, wasn't he the only one who voted against the USA Patriot Act? Getting rid of Russ Feingold, getting rid of Alan Grayson. Oh my God. That's exactly, those two guys might as well have had, and apparently they did, on the backs of their suit coats, huge targets that said, shoot me. And that's exactly what happened.
Looking for something that I can't touch and sometimes can't even believe in. Oh, oh. Cradled by the hands of faith, the faith that sometimes wraps around too tight.
This is Eric Cole.
Arm yourself with the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Joanne writes in, Mike, Russ Feingold is not going to concede. The votes of Madison and Milwaukee, Wisconsin's largest Democratic strongholds, haven't been counted yet. Okay. John is in Oakland, California. Hello, John.
Yes, good evening, Mike.
Hi.
First-time caller, long-time listener.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was a beautiful day in Oakland to be voting, and we had pretty good turnout as far as I could tell.
Uh-huh.
And people were very upbeat and hopeful, but I'm considering the Costa Rica option myself now.
What could possibly make you consider that, John?
I have a reason or two.
Yeah.
And I've even been down there to check it out.
Yeah, Costa Rica.
But when the Dems were elected in 08, I kind of put that on hold. But now I'm rethinking it.
Uh-huh.
But I kind of like to stay and fight. You know, do what little bit I can. Even so.
Well, you know, I feel the same way, but then I start to think If all things were equal, if we used paper ballots instead of voting touchscreen voting machines that are owned by people who hate the democratic process and
right.
whose programs that run these machines are proprietary, so nobody's allowed to see them. If we had a media, especially a television medium, that was not totally sold out to with one or two very tiny exceptions, if we had leadership in the Democratic Party that would put on the brass knuckles and just beat the living hell out of these Republican phonies, but we don't have that. So
right.
I wonder how someone proposes fascism is In my opinion, I don't know if this is historically correct or not. In my opinion, fascism is the natural outgrowth of unbridled capitalism. When capitalism has reached a certain point, it turns to fascism for a number of reasons that I don't know if I could even guess at all the reasons. But this is the natural what is happening in this country. It started with Reagan. Here we are 30 years later, exactly.
Yep.
This is the natural evolution or devolution of capitalism. It has to come to this in every single instance. Now, if I'm wrong, there are enough smart people listening to this program who will send me comments saying you're crazier than hell. But I think what we're seeing tonight is one of the final steps in closing this circle of corporate capitalist dominance of our political system. If you don't call that fascism, then somebody should give me a definition that is makes more sense. That's what Mussolini said. Although Mussolini said, "Don't call it fascism, call it corporatism." But there's no difference.
There's
without a difference. Yeah, right. There's no difference. So, you know, and in a in a different context, I think it was God. It was before I was even on Air America. This goes back a long time. I remember saying on the air one night, unless you're a targeted group, and if you are willing to just live your life, don't really have any ambition, don't expect a rise in your standard of living, if you're willing to just stay alive and be quiet, you can survive under fascism, unless you're a targeted group, or unless you have aspirations of succeeding outside of the boundaries in which fascism puts people, then fascism is a system of government under which people can survive, common folk only survive. And I've come to realize that in a very essential way, that's what Americans are facing. It's been a long, slow process. But we're right on the brink of it. Right on the brink. Tonight, the election's tonight. I kind of like the spackling material that's filling in those unnecessary spaces, the spaces where the light gets in, and those are being filled in. And it's scary on the one hand. It really is, and I think ultimately there is going to be open rebellion in this country. I don't know what form it's going to take, but I think that surely that's coming. I really do. So it's just a shame. I never thought that I would be alive to see a country like this that has such promise and has gone through so many attempts to do what's being done tonight and had those attempts thwarted, and yet here we are. John, thanks. Let me leave it there. I appreciate you checking in. David in L.A. writes, Mike, Russ Feingold was one of the 22 brave members of the U.S. Senate who voted against the resolution to use force in Iraq, and thus one who tried to save the lives of thousands of Americans, American service personnel, and Iraqi civilians. In turning him out of office, the voters of Wisconsin have essentially urinated on the graves of the more than 4,000 soldiers and Marines killed there. May it be a cold winter in Wisconsin. Bring this up. Here's John Boner.
Reporters are volunteers who've worked so hard to make this moment possible. Let me just say this. It's clear tonight who the winners really are, and that's the American people. It was the American people's voice that was heard at the ballot box. The American people's voice. And listen, I'm going to be brief because we've got real work to do. And frankly, this is not a time for celebration. Not when one out of 10 of our fellow citizens is out of work. Not when we've buried our children under a mountain of debt. And not when our Congress is held in such low esteem. This is a time to roll up our sleeves. A time to look forward with determination and to take the first steps toward building a better future for our kids and our grandkids. Across the country right now, we're witnessing a repudiation of Washington, a repudiation of big government, and a repudiation of politicians
who
refuse to listen to the American people.
Get him off. George in Oregon writes, Mike, I wish you could be as optimistic as you are. I'm sure you're a student of 20th century history as I am, and you must be able to see the parallels of what's happening here now and what happened in Germany in the 20s and 30s. The Nazis used the big lie strategy, and the Republicans learned from that. The Nazis had the corporatists, who also owned the media, behind them with virtually unlimited financial support. To paraphrase Ed Murrow, the lights are going out all over the United States. He could see the lights going out all over Europe, and I bet he'd see the lights now going out here. I hope it's possible to get rid of these fascists in 2 years, but I wouldn't bet on it. Boom, ba boom, boom, boom. George in Oregon. Thanks, George. What else? This is from no name here. Hi, Mike. I'm currently listening to Carl Palladino's concession speech. As usual with these fascists, he's blaming the liberal media for his defeat. Every time he mentions the media, someone in the audience yells out, "Jews!" I've heard this about 5 times in the first 10 minutes. Real nice, these folks, these teabaggers. Real fair, balanced, and of course, as the corporate media, which have given the bastards respectability, as the corporate media stated time and time again, there isn't a racist bone in their bodies. Well, it is going to be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how normal people are going to respond to what has happened. I have some friends who whose relatives were are Germans, who were there during the rise of Nazism. They were extremely young, but they remember. And I just want to ask them, how did, I mean, what did you think, feel, or envision would be your future in 1935, 1937, 1940? What did you think? And you know, these are people in their what, early 80s. They're not so far removed from their own history as to have forgotten it. So I need to get some answers about how people in Germany felt or allowed what happened to have happened, and how that applies to us, I guess. I think something like that. We'll be right back. What you gonna do when the silence calls your name? Make your speeches to the wind, count the votes that might have been. What you gonna do when the silence falls? See that cloud in the eastern sky. See that cloud.
Voted for people who know how to do this and against Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The ad that Jerry Brown put up against Meg Whitman that just contrasted in Schwarzenegger's words with her words, the exact same phrases, was brilliant. And that, I mean, if the election hadn't been
Look,
won,
if Schwarzenegger
at that point,
had done a great job as governor, Whitman would have sailed in there.
Yeah.
We have yet to see that race, the governor's race, but the.
We get carried away listening to this garbage on MSNBC. 10 before the hour, I was watching Boehner's long speech. The man was drunk on his ass and crying.
Instead of talking about, I worked at my dad's bar.
Good God. This is going to be, it's going to be very interesting 2 years. I just can't. I can't believe that the people in Wisconsin decided to vote for somebody who wants to shield child molesting priests. Wow. Bruce writes, learning from history or not, the Germans have the excuse that this had never happened or had never been seen before in a modern liberal society like the German Republic. The German people said that. Their excuse that it had never been seen before in a modern liberal society like the German Republic, the rise of Nazism. We don't have that excuse, except for the fact that the first thing Reagan did was to cripple the education system and begin bombarding the public with 24/7 propaganda that created a new wisdom or even a new reality that, of course, has nothing to do with real reality. So the German response, well, yeah, they were in the depths of arguably worse depression than we were. And people were starving. The humiliation that was leveled on the German people with the Treaty of Versailles. Caused that, from what I have been told, I have no idea, but the sense of angst and defeat and shame was so pervasive in German society immediately after World War I and the Treaty of Versailles and all the punishments that were leveled against the Germans. And you can make an argument that the punishments were deserved. You can make an argument that they were not. You can make an argument any way you want. So I'm just trying to find the parallel if there is one. But the German people, as just shared with you in the email, they had no example of a demagogue like Hitler. And by the time his brown shirts had transformed themselves into the SS, and by the time the secret police had become so pervasive, and by the time Hitler had become chancellor, it was too late. And the only thing that was able to stop Nazism was the deaths of 50 million people around the globe. That's the only thing that stopped it. The deaths of millions of Jews, millions of Poles, Czechs, Lithuanians, Brits, Americans, Spanish, French. They didn't know what was happening. And I can accept that as here, you know, 90 years later, I certainly can accept that. And we don't have that excuse. Exactly. Blue is in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, good day, Mike.
This is the Blue?
Well, there's only one as far as I know. I don't think there could be more than one.
Well, welcome back.
Well, it's been a time of turmoil. I don't want to get into that, but in my own personal life, it's been a time of turmoil. But I've been in Seattle in connection with my work, and we've got friends in Portland. We're sitting here in a gigantic bookstore called Powell's, and in a coffee shop. And my friends, of course, are keenly interested in the outcome of the election. They're waiting to see. I don't know, maybe the results are already being called, but whether or not the Democrat, a guy by the name of Kitzhaber, is going to be the governor. He was a governor before, apparently. And what's interesting, though, is that nobody's talking about the election. There's no talk here. I mean, we're sitting at a table. There are a whole bunch of tables in this coffee shop, long tables, and people are sitting here with books and talking about things, but nobody's talking about the election. It's bizarre.
Hmm.
It's difficult to understand, except that, you know, when you look at the results, the apparent results anyway, what's going on, it has to say something about the mentality of the American people, the American electorate, that they could do this, that they could allow this to happen. It's astonishing. I mean, on the one hand, this is something we all anticipated. I mean, the media in Australia is covering this as we speak, I'm sure. But we've been hearing a lot about it. People in Europe are talking about it. I'm sitting in a coffee shop in the United States, and nobody's talking about the election. I'm serious. I'm not making this up.
No, I don't have any doubt. It blew. There goes the theme music, which means we have to close out the program. I wish I would have gotten to your call sooner. Anyway, we'll chat again, I'm sure. That's very interesting. Portland being a progressive city. Maybe they feel the way I do. It really doesn't make that much difference whether you talk about it or not. It's here now. What do we do about it? I'll see you tomorrow night. I'm Mike Malloy. Keep it lit.
Hi, I'm Jay Farmer.